Good morning, Chair, and everyone on the platform. Chair Bidoo, Coronel Chair. May I just ask the AG's office to stop sharing? Okay, brilliant, thanks. Chair, shall I proceed with the roll call, Chair?
Recording in progress.
Ms. Mwatse?
Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning, colleagues. I'm present.
Good morning.
Mr. Malamatia?
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, everyone. I'm present.
Good morning.
Mr. Mulder?
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, colleagues. I'm present.
Good morning.
Mr. Cuthbert?
Morning, Chairperson.
Good morning.
Prince Namashe? He's on the platform, Chair. Dr. Tswako?
Good morning, Chair. I'm present.
Good morning.
Mr. Mbuyani?
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, colleagues. I'm present. Thank you very much.
Ms. Mutawun?
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, everyone. I'm present.
Good morning.
Chair, those are all the members present on the platform, Chair.
Thank you. Can we have the agenda?
Chair?
Yes, Honourable Cuthbert.
You did receive Honourable McPherson's apologies, yes. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, we're coming to apologies.
Thanks.
Okay. Thank you.
Chair, we received an apologies, Chair?
Yes, thank you.
You've apology from Mr. Cuthbert, who is on his...
No, McPherson.
Sorry, make my apologies, Mr. McPherson. And then we also received apology from Mr. Thing, Chair. So those are the two apologies for they both on party business.
Okay. Thank you very much. So there we have the agenda. Can we have a mover and a seconder for the adoption of the agendas table? We will deal first with the AG's office. And then we'll receive a briefing from SABS and NRCS. Can I have a mover?
Chair.
Honourable Namashe, Prince Namashe.
No, thank you very much, Chair. I'm not sure on the acknowledgement of members because I have not had
yes, I called your name.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't respond. Maybe you had a network glitch at the time.
Yeah, I'm sure there was. No, I move for the adoption of the agenda.
Thank you very much. Can we add a seconder to that proposal that we adopt the agenda?
My hands was up for the secondment of the agenda, Chair.
Thank you very much. So our agenda is duly adopted. So firstly, in our briefing by the Office of the Auditor General with regards to corrections to some of its recommendation in respect to SABS, further to our engagement with the Office of the Auditor General on the 11th of October, the lead administration of the SABS engaged with the office to correct some of the content contained in its presentation. They have requested an opportunity to present to the committee the corrections to ensure that the credibility of the office of the AG's report is not in question. I have acceded to their request to brief the full committee regarding the corrections. Who is leading the AG's office? Presentation.
Mr. Shabangu, Mr. Pozo will be leading the chair.
Thank you. Over to you, Mr. Shabangu.
Morning, Honourable Chair. Morning, Honourable Members. Thank you for the opportunity for us to engage with you on the SABS matter. We are joined by our colleagues who are doing the SABS audit at the AGSA. It's Ms. Mbali, who's the Deputy Business Unit Leader in National C. She'll be leading the discussion. Because I'm just doing the introduction as she was not part of the meeting the last time. and she together with her colleague from National C. I'll hand over to them with your permission, Chair.
Thank you very much. Proceed, Ms. Baliti.
Thank you so much, Honorable Chair, for this opportunity. We will proceed then to give the committee clarity on why we made certain amendments to the slide 16, which was presented on the 11th of October 2022 during the BRRR discussions by the HGSA. If we can move to the next slide. We start off with our mission as the Auditor General. We exist to strengthen this country's democracy by enabling oversight, accountability, and governance in the public sector through the audit work that we are doing with the aim of building public confidence. If we move to the next slide, Chairperson, as you've indicated, the amendments made only relate to the South African Bureau of Standards and were made subsequent to our engagement with the lead administrator of SABS. Chair, we felt that it was appropriate that we then come back to the committee to explain why we had to make those changes. Chairperson, the slide that is flighted is the one that we have since amended. I will take the committee through the slide, but first, I just want to highlight that the first part of the slide, which talks to governance issues, has not changed. So the part that changed is around the challenges that we had reported that are being experienced by the SAFs. So Chairperson, in the main, the reason why we had to make the changes was because some of the content that we presented referred to matters of a historical nature. One of those items was in relation to profitability of SAFs. So in that slide, there was an indication about the entity still incurring losses. So that part was historical because in as much as the entity has suffered losses for a number of years, for about 3 years, however, in the current year being 2021, 2022, they did make a profit if you look at the group of SABS, which consists of SABS and SAFs Commercial. We also made reference to the impairment reversal that was made in the SAFs entity. That particular reversal didn't affect the group at all because upon consolidation, it would have been eliminated. So that is one item that was removed from the presentation. And also in relation to some of the points that related to human resources, we removed the point that related to the arbitrary shifting of functions and personal deployment, as well as the point that was relating to challenges around loss of skills, long-standing critical vacancies, and adequate capacity. Chairperson, some of these matters are the ones that are being currently addressed by SABS and with the turnaround strategy, and that is why we have since removed them. Chairperson, if I can then take you through the slide now as it is, as amended. The first part, as I indicated, remains the same. In this part, we refer to the governance issues whereby the entity SABS is still operating without a fully constituted board of directors as required by the Standards Act, which is the enabling act of SABS. And it's been operating like that since July 2018. So we highlighted that as a concern, and also we went on further to indicate that this was inconsistent also with Section 49(3) of the PFMA that indicates that any other functionary that can be deemed to be an accounting authority can be appointed or approved subject to exceptional circumstances and approved by the relevant treasury. We also noted the issue of the CEO because there has been also a vacancy since 2018. So that part has not really changed. So coming to the current now challenges, that's where we've also made some changes, and we'll also just want to talk to those challenges that are still then existing at the entity. The first one was in our previous slide. It relates to the implementation then of Section 189 at the entity as part of the cost-saving measures. So we were highlighting it because it was also reported as such and emphasized in our report. Then in terms of the other challenge that SABS still faces at this point in time is around the vacancies in key positions, especially in relation to finance units and the high staff turnover, which has resulted in some challenges in the entity being able to submit then the financial statements within the legislative date of 31 May 2022. As also indicated, the CEO position is still vacant, and it's been now about 4 years. Then the issue of instability then in leadership, wherein there is no CEO, also results then in overlapping roles in terms of executive management and governance and oversight. So those are the challenges that currently still exist, and this has been discussed also with the lead administrator. In terms of our recommendation, Honorable Chair, is that we've recommended that the executive authority should then expedite the appointment of a full-time board, fully functional board, and the board will then appoint the CEO of the entity, and that will aid then in terms of the assisting to close the gap in terms of the governance matters. We have discussed this matter with the Honorable Minister, and he made a commitment that he will look into the matter in terms of expediting the appointment of the board once he has identified suitable candidates. That was the commitment that we also included in our previous presentation on the 11th of October 2022. Thank you again, Chairperson and members, for granting us this opportunity to present the amended slide in relation to the SABS. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Members, here we have the correction from the AG on the SABS audit report. Can I see if there are any hands for clarification or comment? Members? It seems not. I see a hand from Honorable Malamecha. Honorable Malamecha.
Thank you, Chair. No, it's just a very serious concern, Chairperson, that with the history that we experienced with the KPMG, you ask yourself how it happened that they did such mistakes without being noticed. Because we expect the office to be of highly intensified to an extent that every process cannot just pass without being noticed. Because if it passed being noticed, I mean without being noticed and reach the public, be read wherever it is, that question stays there and it remains there for quite a long time. Now the question is, how many of these corrections have they done to other entities? And where they never had an opportunity to explain how is it, how are those people are now trusted that it has been corrected? And why these things has not to come one time and be dealt with once and for all, rather to be having this thing of correcting, not correcting. I'm very worried, Commissioner President. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Mbali. You want to respond to that concern raised by the Honourable Member?
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, Chair, we note the concern and really apologies to the committee for that. But that is why we felt that we had to come back to the committee to explain the correction, Chairperson, because it was an error and we have rectified it, and we wanted to rectify it to the committee as well. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, so I think you will register the concern expressed by the member, you know, about such corrections after an audited statement has been published. Thank you very much for coming to the committee and for setting the record straight. Thank you very much. I think we can excuse you from the meeting if you need to, so that we can then proceed with our agenda. Our next agenda item is a briefing by the NRCS and the SABS on the 2021-2022 annual report, as well as the first quarter financial and non-financial performance for the 2022-23 financial year. This is so that the committee can assess the performance of the national departments against their resource allocation in compliance with Section 5 of the Moneyball's Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act, number 9 of 2009. Can I check who is leading the department on this? These reports, I think you said Mr. Zalk.
Mr. Zalk, yes, Chair. Correct.
Okay. Thank you very much. Welcome to Mr. Zalk, and also welcome to, I see we have been joined by Honorable Jacobs from Small Business Development. You're welcome. You may proceed, Mr. Zalk.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you to the committee. From our side, we do need to reflect a couple of apologies due to the unavailability of the minister, the deputy ministers, and the director general. The DTIC is represented by myself, acting deputy director general of the Industrial Competitiveness and Growth Division. Also by various colleagues, including the acting COO, the acting chief financial officer, and others. I'm not sure, Chair, whether you want to give them opportunity to introduce themselves.
No, that's not necessary. You may proceed.
Okay, thank you, Chair. And then, of course, we also have members of the board and executive management of the two entities that are reporting. That is of the NRCS and the SABS. These are obviously two institutions that are a very critical part of the system on standards, quality assurance, and metrology. And they will be reflecting on the performance of the 2021-22 financial year, as well as the first quarter of the 2022-2023 financial year. I think we also there are a couple of things that we welcome. The first are the clarifications that have just been discussed and presented by the AG with respect to clearing up and in respect to reversing some of the statements that were made with respect to the SABS findings on the 11th of October. Also, the NRCS reflect for the first time in 7 years an unqualified audit, and this is a very welcome step on a journey towards ensuring that these entities are run effectively, that they contribute to the objectives of the overall objectives of industrialization, transformation, and building state capacity. That is the key kind of mission of the Department of Trade and Industry and Competition and its entity that report into it. So with that, Chair, thank you very much for the opportunity to make the introductions and back over to you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Zalk. Can we now have Ms. Capps? I think she's leading the NRCS delegation.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair, and good morning, Chairperson, and good morning to the members. Let me try and share the presentation, Chair.
Yeah, also introduce your team that is with you, please.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, members. I will first introduce myself. My name is Ms. Macy Katz. I am an acting CEO of the NRCS. This presentation was meant to be presented by Mr. Edward Mamadise, who is the NRCS CEO. Currently, Mr. Mamadise has got a family bereavement. He has lost his father, so he is currently on family responsibility leave. To introduce the team that will be assisting me or with me in the presentation is Mr. Duncan Mutengwe, and also the CIO, Mr. Opa Hasaho, who will be taking some part also in the presentation, and also Mr. Edward Matemba. Chair, I assume that the presentation is projected or it is visible to the members.
Yes, but it will assist if you can just put it on slide mode. It's now showing your I don't know, I see it's a PDF document and not a
okay, maybe let me try and thank you, Chair. I will try and share the presentation on the slide mode. Let me try and share it. Chair, is it visible on the slide mode? Thank you, Chair.
Yes, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. So to start the presentation, Chair and the members, the presentation will cover the strategic overview of the NRCS, which include both the goals, the vision, and the mission of the NRCS. I will slightly touch on the legislative mandate of the NRCS, including the regulated industries. As requested by the committee, we will present the overview in terms of the annual report for 2021-22, including the AG report that we have, that the audited report of the AG. We will also present on the first quarter for 2022-23, which will include both the financial and the non-financial performance. Chair, we also going to touch on the issues that we have been presenting previously to the committee, just to update the committee in terms of the projects that the NRCS has been working on with regards to the ICT modernization. And also, Chair, we will just touch to update the committee on the legacy issue that NRCS has been working on. Chair, to move to the NRCS goals, NRCS has set himself for four strategic goals. The most important goal, or the first goal that NRCS worked on, is a goal to develop and to develop the compulsory specification or technical regulations in terms of the regulations. And also with that goal, there is a second goal that NRCS has set themselves on, which is to maximize compliance in terms of enforcing those technical regulations that we have developed and ensure compliance with those technical regulations. With regards to goal three, NRCS does not work in isolation. It is important to note, Chair, that NRCS has got a goal which talks to the stakeholder engagement, in which NRCS endeavor to inform and educate the stakeholders about the NRCS. The last goal, the last goal, Chair, is the goal NRCF that includes or to ensure that NRCF is capacitated, and we work on that goal. Chair, with regards to the industries regulated by the NRCS, I would first just quickly just touch in terms of the legislative mandate. The NRCS is established in terms of the NRCS Act and also in terms of the Legal Metrology Act. With regards to these two acts, there are various industries that NRCS regulate, and also there are various acts that also NRCS would support, which is the act in terms of the Road Traffic Act, and also which is the act in terms of the National Building Regulation, and also the act in terms of the Foodstuffs and Cosmetic Act. With regards to the various industries that NRCS regulate, the first industry is the automotive industry. This industry mainly covers the vehicles, the replacement components, the manufacturer and the importers, including the builders of the motor vehicles. The second industry that NRCS regulate is the chemical material and mechanicals. This industry mainly includes the cements, the chemicals, the detergents, which also include protective equipment, safety foods, the building material, treated timber, the plastic bags. And also NRCS is regulates the electrotechnical industry, which mainly includes the appliances and the electrical appliances and the products and electronic appliances and its products. The other important industry that also NRCS regulate is food and associated industry, which is mainly include the fish and fish, the regulation of fish and fishery products, canned meat and processed meat. The other key industry that NRCS also regulate is the industry in terms of the legal metrology, which mainly talks to the calibration of measuring instruments, weights, measurements and gaming equipment. NRCS is also involved with regards to the building regulations, where it ensures the uniform interpretation of the national building regulations and standards. Chair, I would then move in terms of the highlight for the financial year 2021-2022. There are key highlights that I would like to touch to, Chair. The first highlight, which is the first highlight that I would touch to for 2021, the NRCS has received an unqualified audit opinion. As indicated, Chair, by the DTIC, we have managed to resolve the revenue qualification by mainly utilizing the levy estimation methodology. And currently, we are also in the process of improving all the internal controls with this regard. In the year under review, Chair, we have facilitated the exportation of fish and fishery products, particularly to the various countries, including the European region and also the Asian markets. In this regard, Chair, we have issued about 823 health guarantee certificates, and these are the health guarantees that we issue as the competent authority for the export of these products. With regards to this, the value of these products, Chair, is approximately around 15.6 billion, and this is the trade that has been facilitated in this commodity. And also, Chair, with regards to the non-complying products in South Africa, we have removed the non-complying products from the market at the estimated value of about 438 million. And in the year under review, Chair, we are still also embarking on the effectiveness review project. One of the key issues that we have worked on in 2021-22, Chair, we have resolved and currently we do not have backlogs in terms of the letter of authorities that we issue, and this is a matter that we have been also working on, Chair. With regards to these LOAs, we are now finalizing all our LOAs within 21 days, except, Chair, in the instances where the clients fail to submit the requirements in terms of the submission for the application. And with regards to that, Chair, normally we give 30 days for the clients to resolve that, and after those 30 days, we will then cancel those applications. Also, Chair, we have reviewed this LOA process, and currently we are making sure that there is efficiency in that. With regards to the LOAs or the letter of authorities, we have issued 76% of those LOAs within 60 days, Chair, and also all our containers are released, Chair, within 10 days. And also with regards to the July unrest that happened in KZN in 2021, NRCS has provided assistance by offering these businesses, which are South African-based, which were destroyed, and by allowing them to source products from the other markets, and these would be the products that would have been already approved in South Africa, so we would allow them to source those products and to be imported into the country without necessarily requiring more requiring other approvals, Chair. If I can, Chair, move in terms of the annual report, Chair, with regards to the annual report. The first goal that I have touched to or I have explained, Chair, there is in terms of the development of compulsory specification, we have developed 12 compulsory specification technical regulations which were submitted to the DTIC. And also with regards to the legal metrology, we have developed some interim requirements. If I can explain, Chair, with regards to the interim requirements, these are the requirements that NRCS would develop where there is no standard to ensure that there is a regulation that needs to be implemented. So what we will do, we will develop these interim requirements, and in this regard, we have developed some interim requirements for the average speed over the distance, and also we have developed interim requirements for fixed distance speed meters and multi-dimensional instruments. To the core performance of the organization, Chair, we have inspected 47,130 inspections were conducted across all the industries. With regards to this inspection, 21,065 inspections were conducted by automotive, CMM, electrotech, and legal metrology. And this was against the target that we have set for ourselves, which was 19,915 inspections. With regards to the foods and associated industry, where we are also appointed as the competent authority for fish and fishery products, we have conducted 26,065 inspections. And we have also issued on facilitated trade and by issuing 7,822 health and 23 health guarantees, and these were the consignments that were exported to various countries, to various international countries. By this, we have facilitated trade, or in terms of that estimation, amount was about 57 billion for fish and fishery products that were exported. With regards to the non-compliance that were issued for the year under review, we have issued removed non-compliance up to the value of 438 million. Chair, NRCS has implemented the compulsory specification on the process meat. If you recall, Chair, we have been since there was an issue on the listeriosis outbreak, and we had to, and there was a compulsory specification that was published for process meat, and now this compulsory specification is being implemented, and currently we are hoping that there would be an increased funding with regards to this compulsory specification. With regards to foods, we inspect, because of the risk on fish and fishery products, we inspect 100% of all declared products, and those products were inspected. And also with the other BUs where we utilize a risk-based approach, and therefore we do not inspect each and every consignment. And in this regard, therefore, that will be the BUs that include automotive, legal metrology, CMM, and electrotech. The market surveillance inspections that were conducted for the year under review, Chair, were about 21,065. And this market surveillance was conducted by the BUs, Automotive, CMM, Electrotech, and Legal Metrology. With regards to food, Chair, as indicated, we have conducted total inspections for the year of under review, 26,065. In total, that is the breakdown of the various areas in which we have conducted inspections, which include the imported, the exported products, the canned meat, the frozen meat, and the facilities. Coming to the approvals, Chair, for the gaming approvals, these are the approvals that we issue for the products or for the pre-market approvals that we issue. With regards to the gaming approvals, we have issued, Chair, we have issued 100% of these approvals within 30 days. And with regards to the approvals on the automotive CMM and CMM legal metrology and electrotech, we have processed a total of 20,872 applications, in which we have granted a total of 18,358 letters of authority. With that, Chair, with those approvals that we have issued, it is a total of 93% was issued within 21 days, in which of that, Chair, we had a variance of about 2%, Chair. As indicated, Chair, we do not have backlog in this area with regards to the approval. However, Chair, I can also confirm that with regards to the medium, as we classify our approval in terms of the high risk, medium risk, and low risk, with regards to the medium risk and low risk approval, application are now issued at the average of and finalized within 30 days, Chair. Moving to the legal metrology, with regards to the legal metrology, Chair, We have verification bodies and repair bodies that we approved. These are the private bodies that we will approve to verify instruments and also to repair instruments, and after repairing instruments, they would then calibrate those instruments. Chair, with a year under review, we have verified a total of about 100, and we have designated a total of about 104 verification bodies and 93 repair bodies where issues were verified. Chair, in that included therefore a total number of 270 persons that were approved or were designated persons that are able now with regards to those laboratories. There is, as NRCS, we then prioritize the various we prioritize this designation into various apologies, Chair. We prioritize these approvals, Chair, with regards to the various levels, and the table shows the various approvals that we have conducted, Chair. With regards to the various customer concerns that we would receive, and also with regards to the stakeholder engagement that we would do, we would conduct various raids, and we will also conduct surprise raids. NRCS has conducted surprise raids on suspected illegal treated timber in Limpopo, and also NRCS had, and we are targeting all these high risk areas by using the customer concerns that we'll receive, Chair. With the areas that we also have conducted raids on, it's areas in Johannesburg, Cape Town, and Durban, and it's mainly for the automotive products, electrotechnical products, and chemical and mechanical and material products. We have also conducted the destruction of the products that we have confiscated. These are the non-complying products that we have destroyed. And this destruction we have conducted in the Gauteng area, and also we have conducted them in the Cape Town area. Chair, it is important to educate our consumers and the public at large with regards to our work that we do, especially in terms of the non-compliant products. NRCS had embarked on a process of rural engagement in the financial year, and we had conducted a total of 11 rural engagement in which we would educate the public on the non-complying products, and we will educate the communities on those products. And in that, we will also buy the complying products, and we will then donate in exchange with the non-complying products from the public, Chair. Also, we have conducted an annual building control officer convention, which talks to the building at Chair. And also, we had a commemoration of the Legal Metrology Day. As indicated, Chair, that NRCS does not work in isolation, and also not only just in South Africa. We are involved in the various harmonization of the various technical regulations, Chair. Chair, with regards to the harmonization of these technical regulations, there are various countries and forums that we participate in. Specifically, we do participate in the various forums in the SADC areas, which include, Chair, and some of the international forums to harmonize these regulations in order to facilitate trade. with regards to this chair, we would have various technical bodies that we will participate at, such as SADMAL and the SPS forums and the TPT forums, Chair. This also is also assisting the organization with regards, especially with SADC, with regards to the implementation of the free trade agreement. We have also participated in the legal metrology area with regards to AFRIMET and OIML. And then with regards, Chair, to the automotive area, we have participated on the WP29 forums, which these are international forums at the WTO. Chair, with regards to the food space, we have also participated. We've got various we've got various technical cooperation agreements with countries such as Botswana, Mozambique, Mauritius, Namibia, and Zambia. On the detail of the stakeholder engagement for the year under review, Chair, we have conducted a total of about 21 stakeholder awarenesses. These would be, some of them would be formal events that we would conduct to ensure that we educate and we do these campaigns to for the public and large to understand our work, Chair. We have issued also various media statements in terms of the non-complying products that we might have identified in the market, Chair. NRCS also uses the social platforms in terms of these publications, such as all the various social platforms. NRCS would utilize those platforms. I can also confirm, Chair, that we had had this rural engagement in areas such as Limpopo, Northwest, to educate these communities or these rural areas, Chair. This is the area that the NRCS has been focusing on, Chair, and we are currently also focusing with regards to the vacancy rate. The organization currently has a vacancy rate of about 12%, Chair, against the target that we had set for ourselves, which is 6%, Chair. The NRCS is focusing on this area in this current financial year. And with regards to the implementation of the enterprise resource planning, we have implemented about 80% of that, Chair. NRCS also embark on a very important project in terms of youth development and assisting the youth, Chair, where we have got internship programs by in the year under review, we have about 21 candidates that are currently finalizing their training and that we have trained them. And the plan, Chair, for this coming year is we've got about 25 new interns that are about to start in 2023 January. And the stipend that will be given to this internship, it's around, it's an average of around 8,300, Chair. Members, if I can move to the financial statement for the financial year 2021-22. For the financial year 2021-22, the total income that we have for the year was 482 million. Against the expenditure, Chair, of about 478 million. Currently, I can confirm that NRCS still remain as a going concern. And in terms of that, we ended the year at a surplus of 4.3 million. Chair, just to touch on the various breakdown in terms of the expenditure and the revenue for the NRCS, Chair. The main core core income for the NRCS comes from the levies, where an average of about 51% of our revenue comes from the levies, and 30% it's mainly the services, and there would be other incomes which covers the 6% of that, and we would have a core funding from the government of about 13%, Chair. With regards to expenditure, NRCS is a labor intense organization. Therefore, an average of about 77% of our expenditure is for our labor or for our salaries, and the 20% will, and the 23% will go to the rest, Chair. To touch, Chair, just on the irregular expenditure. For the year under review, we had a total of 6.4 irregular expenditure. Against, if we look in the previous year, our irregular expenditure, Chair, were about 9.3 million. With that 6.4 million, we had, if I can just bring a quick breakdown of that 6.4 million, Chair, there was about 3 million, which was mainly on our expired list. NRCS has worked on this to ensure that we regularize these agreements, and we regularize this contract, and also currently we have one contract that must still be concluded in working down this irregular expenditure. With regards to the 3.2 million, this is mainly was just an issue, Chair, of an SCM policy in where the tender was advertised in less than 21 days, and that approval was not done by the accounting authority. We have ever since with that, Chair, referred this to the account to Treasury, and it has been condoned, Chair. With regards to the fruitless and wasteful expenditure incurred for 2021-22 financial year, we have incurred fruitless and wasteful expenditure to a value amount of about 2.7 million. And this, Chair, is related to a leak, a water leak in the Port Elizabeth building. We are currently investigating this matter, and it will be dealt with in accordance with the framework of the fruitless and wasteful expenditure once the investigation has been concluded. Chair, with regards to the issue of the fraud, which was reported also previously, this matter has now been finalized, and the employee has since been dismissed from the organization. Chair, if I can move to the first quarter of 2022-23. Chair, in the first quarter, Chair, we have conducted a total of about 5,484 inspections, and these inspections were conducted across the industries or the business units that the NRCS has. And in terms of the declared products for fish and fishery products, including the processed meat and canned meat, we have conducted 100% of that, with a total of food and associated industry inspections with a total of 7,053. And we have issued a total of 2,180 health guarantee to facilitate the trade, Chair. We have also issued a total of 1,830 health guarantee at a value or estimated value of the facilitation of trade of about 5.3 billion. with regards to the non-compliant products that we have removed from trade, Chair, or from the market, we have removed a total of non-compliant product with an estimated value of about 76 million. Chair, for the quarter, for the first quarter, we have submitted to the DTI one compulsory specification for approval, which we have completed. And also with regards to the gaming approvals and application, we have processed 100% of those approvals within 30 days. And with regards to the applications or to the letters of authorities, we have processed 93% of our applications within 120 days. We have also, Chair, conducted a total of 4 consumer awareness sessions, which included the raid of treated timber in Limpopo, covering areas such as Polokwane and up to the surroundings, up to going to Tzaneen, Chair. And during these operations, we have isolated non-complying products of timber, and also confiscated this product, and the non-complying poles of a total of about 3,735 were isolated and confiscated in these areas. Chair, we have also conducted some rural engagement, as I have indicated, Chair, that these engagements are important in educating our communities, Chair. With regards to the vacancy rate, we've got a 12% vacancy rate, and currently we have put processes in place to ensure that we facilitate our recruitment process, Chair. Currently we have also assisted youth in terms of the internship program. A total of 20 candidates which are finalizing their training, or if I can give a breakdown of those candidates or of the youth, Chair, we had about 12 African males and 12 African females and 9 African males within the age of 18 to 35 years old. And as indicated, with regards to the stipend that is received, is between 8,000 and 8,300. And currently we've got a total vacancy rate of we've got a total of 44 positions that we are currently processing to be filled. If I can touch members to the first quarter financials. With regards to the first quarter financials, currently, Chair, our revenue income, this is a picture of our revenue income against our actual income, the budgeted income against our actual income. For the first quarter, we've got a total of actual income of 177 million against a budgeted income of 247 million. In this regard, we're still working on this with regards to the to the levies, and we are hoping that this picture will change in the next quarter. With regards to expenditure against the actual expenditure, we have a total expenditure of about 111 million against the budgeted expenditure of 143 million. And that also our expenditure is also in terms of goods and services, our expenditure is there with regards to the compensation, and also the compensation of our employees. We have got an expenditure of about 102 million against the expenditure of about 105 million. Chair, if I can quickly just touch to quarter one budget versus the actual profit, Chair. For quarter one, we have a total expenditure of about, I think I have already touched to this one, Chair, of about 111 million against the budget of 177 million. Chair, with your permission, if I can request our CIO just to take us through to our to the information technology presentation. This is the ICT projects that the modernization projects that we have been embarking on. Chair, if you could allow me to allow our CIO, Mr. Opa Khasako.
Thank you very much, Mr. Khasako.
Thank you, Mercy. Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members. As members are aware that the modernization of the NRCS organization has been one of the initiatives that is underrated from the PC perspective. We have embarked on a number of projects to enhance our operating processes in order to enable the NRCS to be efficient and also to enhance the customer's experience, as well as to improve on the accessibility of the information within the NRCS and even to outside stakeholders. At this stage, there are about six projects that we are tracking and giving updates on them today to the members. The first one being the ERP project. As we have indicated that there is a consortium of service providers that have been appointed to help us with this initiative that was focused on supply chain, finance, and facilities, current including ACM. Currently, we have recently gone live with the performance management module of the ACM in April, and the balance of the modules in the HCM, which are learning and development, e-recruitment, as well as the positions management, including the revenue management module, which is within the finance perspective, are outstanding, and have been, their go live have been moved to November 2022, which indicates that by the end of this month, we expect those modules to go live and the ERP program project will be concluded. On the central regulatory system project, which is aimed at optimizing and enhancing the operating the core operating processes of the NRCS, we've went out to the market through a tender process with the assistance of SCM. Unfortunately, that initiative did not yield fruitful results, whereby we received only two bids, and those bids were unable to move to the next stage of the evaluation. We briefed the BAC of the Bid Adjudication Committee on that, and therefore, at this stage, we expect that tender to be advertised again in this month. We have also initiated a document management system whereby we noted that we've got lots of content and documents that is residing in fragmented systems between the users' machines and also on the servers and some on the clouds. And that initiative at the moment is progressing well, whereby we first went live with the internet website as well as the internal intranet for the organization. Currently, we are onboarding the business units on the system in terms of training them, taking them through the look and feel of the system, what is it all about, how is it going to bring benefits to the organizations, but also working with the business units on migrating the legacy data and all the content that is sitting on fragmented system into this system, which will become the enterprise content management repository of the future for the NRCS. And we aim to conclude this project by the end of this month, as we also note that this project has been outstanding for quite some time. Yes, there's been challenges here and there with the business and the service providers, but we are now progressing on that initiative. Next slide, Ms. Krebs. So members, as we are aware that with the introduction of any technology within the organizations, there's always potential opportunities or opportunities for vulnerabilities to be created from a security perspective. So in addition, we've embarked on a ICT security as a service program, which is aimed at enhancing our cyber resilience within the organization. At this stage, the project is on the SCM process. We have concluded the terms of references, and we have, the document will be submitted to the Bid Adjudication Committee so that we can go out on a tender. The idea behind this project is to enhance the endpoints, which the laptop's connectivity to the network and to the internet. And as we work in hybrid mode, we do know that users are working from home and then they accessing the information, be it to, for the organization and even outside, through the internet connectivity. And that is where most of the of the casualties happens in relation to attacks that are emanating from outside. So at the same time, we'll be engaging, we'll be looking at putting in a vulnerability assessment component, which will do continuous scan of the entire network of the NRCS and alert us each and every time there are vulnerabilities which we need to act on. At the same time, we'll be putting in an incident response program, which will assist us that each and every time there is a behavior that is unknown or is abnormal, we'll be alerted and attend to it and arrest the potential vulnerabilities exploitation right there and there in order to protect the NRCS and its data so that we remain to be an efficient and effective entity. Again, currently we have embarked on a penetration testing, which is to do a brutal force attack on the NRCS network to determine if the NRCS network currently secured, what vulnerabilities are there currently, what needs to be attended to urgently, and what would be the consequences of if any of those vulnerabilities are exploited, and how do we then act on those immediately, because this initiative is to help us to say, as much as you haven't been brought down, there could be that chance and you need to act on this and that agency so that we continuously enhance our cyber resilience as an organization. Members are aware that there's been a number of reports on the media about some of the entities which have been attacked and how much time it took for them to recover and come back and operate. And we are so far, yes, confident that we haven't been brought down, but the review and the analysis of all the technologies indicates that we have been attempted, but the programs that we have and also the tools that we have so far kept us in a safe place. But that does not mean we need to relax and say we don't need to also apply some of the best practices and also look at what are the developments in cybersecurity programs that we need to embark on to enhance our security. We are also working on upgrading our network. The first part of this is that we have worked with the incumbent service provider on the infrastructure to enhance our internet connectivity speed and also to enhance our broadband in terms of our connection to from NRCS main office and all the other offices in the region. The next initiative is to look at the upgrading the internal components, physical components that we have, and also enhancing our Wi-Fi access in the different offices of the NRCS. Currently, the project is in the SCM process. Terms of references have been finalized with the requirements from the business, obviously. The document will be submitted to the EAC for adjudication, and then the tender will be advertised in this month. We have also got a project manager who assists us also to ensure that this project, including the other initiatives that we are running with, are well planned, monitored, the activities are controlled, because we do implement these initiatives working collaboratively with our business units, including the functions. And we do know that elements of change management is important, where we need to make sure that the introduction of technology does not result into disruption of the business or causing chaos within the organization. As a way of concluding the next slide, Ms. Cass, members and chairperson, these are the initiatives that we are tracking within the ICT in terms of the modernization roadmap. And as you can see, that is a very busy slide with a number of initiatives, but we are happy to say the revamp of the website and the intranet, as the internet been concluded. We are finalizing the enterprise content management, and the focus now will be on the central regulatory system, where we'll be looking at introducing elements of artificial intelligence, Internet of Things, where we want to enhance our core process of inspections, core processes of letters of authorities and approvals of permits, whereby we need to go back to customers and give them the confidence that through the introduction of these technologies, we can reliably process their applications in a short period of time, whereby they don't need to wait for long hours for their applications to be processed if they are submitted with all the required documentation. You can see that the ERP project, as we indicated, we are bringing it to conclusion, and the focus will be on the central regulatory system, the enhancements of the governance, and from there we'll be looking at the other requirements that are within the internal audit, as well as the risk and legal department. From communications perspective, we do know there's been concerns and complaints that the NRCS is not accessible, it's not reachable. We have fast-tracked the customer contact center initiatives where we'll be working with one of the service providers through the transversal contract to ensure that we bring in a technology that will help us, that to our inspectors and some of their employees, they are still reachable, even if they are not working from the office, working from home, through the technology that we'll be bringing to help us, that we can route the calls to all the users, regardless of the location from where they do work. Thank you, Ms. Cousin. Thank you very much, Chairperson. This brings us to the last slide of the ICT modernization programs. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Khasaho. Chair, if I can take the committee through the legacy issues, we had just prepared a slide, Chair, just to cover the update progress with regards to the legacy issues that we had, Chair. In terms of the LOA backlog, this matter, Chair, has now been resolved. We do not have no backlog LOAs. And Chair, with regards to the issue of the revenue estimation methodology, this has been implemented, Chair, and as a result, Chair, we did have an unqualified audit, and we are currently, Chair, looking in terms of our improvement with regards to our internal controls, Chair. With regards, we have commenced, Chair, with the effectiveness review project, and we are looking at this project to assist the NRCS to address the efficiencies and the effectiveness of the regulator. And also we are looking at the funding model for the regulator, Chair. We have also implemented the cancellation policy on the LOAs in order for us to be able to measure the LOAs and the turnaround time, Chair. And then with regards to the compulsory specification for process meat, this has been implemented fully, Chair, and we are currently continuing with the inspections of the various factories in this industry. And also the NRCS is still engaging, Chair, the DTIC on the ongoing funding models, or on the ongoing funding with regards to those commodities or the regulations that are unfunded, specifically the legal metrology, the process meat, and also in terms of the review of the national building regulation. Chair, thank you very much, and that would be the update with regards to the legacy issue. Thank you, Chair, and thank you, members. I submit.
Thank you very much, Ms. Katz. Members, we will now take the SABS presentation, and after that we will have a comfort break, and then we'll take questions from members. Ms. Scholes from SABS.
Morning, Chair, and morning, honourable members. Thank you very much for the opportunity to present the SABS information. I just want to bring up my presentation. Chair, just to confirm that you can see this in presentation mode?
No, it's in, you must put it in slide mode. I think it must just be, you must just activate the slide mode.
Do you have it in slide mode on my side, Chair? Goodness. Are you able to see it now in slide mode, Chair?
No.
Okay, I'm just going to proceed. Chair and honourable members, thank you very much for the opportunity to present on the SABS financial results and then also our quarter one results as of this current financial year. Just a broad...
Sorry, Ms. Scholes, can you just fix the presentation because it's showing your next slide? So I'm not sure... because now it's like very busy on the screen. That's right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Jay. Thank you very much for that. Just to indicate the overview of what I'll be referring to. A lot of it is about the previous financial year, and then also talking to quarter one, and then also just giving a sense of some of the progress on some of the issues that the portfolio committee had raised at your visit earlier this year. In terms of our legislative mandate, so I think SABS is sitting in a very fairly unique situation in that we have a mandate as a national standards body, and it's legislated. And then we also have a range of services which are also legislated, but these are offered on a commercial basis. And so we have a range of both national and international competitors in terms of our laboratory testing services, as well as our certification testing, our certification services. So we develop, promote, and maintain a range of South African national standards. In terms of the WTO TBT agreement, we are bound to firstly look at international standards before we actually look at national standards. And just in terms of the work that we do, this is done via technical committees. And so we have a range of technical committees across all sectors in the industry working collaboratively and in a consensus-driven way to develop these national standards. In terms of quality, so SABS is an assurance provider, effectively. We give the public trust and assurance that the product is fit for purpose, one, and then secondly also the way in which the product has been manufactured is also done according to robust standards. The auditing process, we do type 5 testing, and I think it's important to mention this. Some of our competitors do type 3. And this effectively means that in the first year of the audit, we go to the factory floor, we get a product, we sample that product, we assess the factory environment, we bring that product back, we test that product. In the second year, we do what we call surveillance audits. We go out to where these products are sold, and we then bring those products back, we test them again. And the final year, we go back onto the factory floor to then assess and test those products again. And that process is a type 5 process as opposed to a type 3, where they don't, some of those steps are not covered. It doesn't mean that assurance isn't given, it's just not as robust as a type 5. And so I think those are important areas also from a competitive point of view that we need to bring into account. So I've spoken about certification, that we do both system certification as well as product. We also develop national standards. We have a standards library, and so we sell these standards on a commercial basis, and we also then have access to international standards by virtue of our memberships. We have around 33 labs across a range of testing areas, from mining, autos, chemicals, materials, cement. We do the condom testing for the Department of Health. And then in last year, we launched a local content grading scheme. This grading scheme is absolutely important in the local content space, in that it assesses and gives assurance about the level of local content within a specified product. And so the local content verification grading scheme is on a 10. It has 10 dimensions. It goes from A, which is 100%, to J, which is the lowest, 0 to 10%. And over the five-year period of this particular scheme, we are able to then assist the manufacturer to gradually increase the level of local content within their product. We offer training, and we also offer consulting services, and that's an area, it's a new area of business that we've launched as part of the turnaround strategy, looking at consulting services, particularly for SMMEs. And then our consignment inspection facility is around looking at goods that are imported and exported. We assess, and then looking at these goods and then making sure that there's traceability in terms of the documentation. Chair, I think the next one, I'm not going to talk in greater detail. I think this is just our vision, sets out who we, what we'd like to be. In terms of our business model, we report on the six capitals, but I thought just to pull out two areas in terms of human capital. The number of employees that we've had as of the last financial year was 738. Our investment in training and staff welfare is around 2.6 million. I think there is room for us to grow that substantially in the new financial year. We also do quite a bit of on-the-job training. So, for instance, if you look at the lab space, what we currently are doing is we are the colleagues get an opportunity to practice. It's on-the-job training. The manager puts together a training plan, and then when the manager believes that they're competent, we then notify SANUS, and they then come in. Basically assess the colleagues and then give them the relevant accreditation should they indicate that the colleagues are competent in those specific areas. In terms of our intellectual capital, we have 29 standards development professionals, 104 certification auditors, and then 118 test officers. We've been able to maintain our accreditation with both RVA, which is the Dutch Accreditation Agency, as well as SANUS. In terms of creating value for our stakeholders, one of the areas that I'd just like to highlight on the slide is that we are a member of both ISO, which is the International Standardization Organization, as well as IEC, which is the International Electrotechnical Organization. And then we are members also of ARSO, which is the regional, the African Regional Standardization Organization. And I just want to indicate the participation of SABs in our ISO and the IEC technical committees. So for instance, if you look ISO, there are 758 technical committees, and South African, we serve in around 402 technical committees, and I think the individuals that comprise of that is roughly around 562. And so I think it's really important that we're, that we are, South Africa is present in these international platforms to develop international standards. Because as I mentioned earlier, what happens is then that, we adopt these international standards, we can adopt them as is, or we can put them through a process in our technical committees, we call it, we sanctify them, we give them a South African context. In terms of IEC, around 214 technical committees, we serve in around 135 of those technical committees. Under ARSO, there are 85 technical committees. We serve in 38 of those technical committees. There are a number of technical committees, like some of the ones on cassava, for instance, that South Africa has indicated we don't have a local interest or national interest in, so we don't participate in those. Because we've signed on to the UN ECE's standards and gender responsive standards and standards development, one of the areas that we're also tracking in all of these committees is the number of women and people with youth and people with disabilities, to ensure that we create as much diversity in these platforms as we possibly can. Some of the operational highlights that we've gone through is in the past financial year relate to, we've been able to maintain our national database of national standards. We've published, I think, a record number of national standards, 414, and of which 140 of those are homegrown. So we can either adopt international standards, or what we can do is we can take, our technical committees can then actually develop national standards for South Africa, given our context. I've indicated we've been able to maintain both the auditor, the scheme, and the laboratory accreditation from SANUS and from RVA. I think that's been quite an important milestone for us at the Bureau. 701 active customers. We are monitoring the number of customers. This is a concern for us, both from a revenue protection point of view, as well as from a revenue generation point of view. So that's something that we track on a monthly basis. We've completed the stabilization phase of the turnaround strategy, and in on the call as well is Dr. Damana, the co-administrator. And in terms of our capital expenditure, we've invested 55 million in the buildings and the lab equipment. Tina will come in shortly and talk about the profits and the operating profit as well as the net profit. We've supported 121 SMEs and invested 2.6 million in staff training and development. And then our last time injury frequency rate is 0.4 per 200,000 hours worked. In terms of the performance, I'm just going to move into the next slide. So we've achieved 6 out of the 11 indicators in the past financial year. 2 of those indicators we've missed by 1% and 0.1% respectively. 1 indicator, the employee engagement survey, we decided very deliberately not to conduct a survey, given that we had just finalized the Section 189 process and we are in the process of placing people in the new structure. So we wanted to stabilize the institution, let it settle before we do that, and that is on the plan for this financial year. I think as I'd indicated, the standardization commitments, these are South African national standards that we've mapped according to the DTIC priority sectors. And we've been able to have a range of stakeholder engagements. I think one of the really great initiatives by the NRCS is that they've invited us to partner with them on their visits, particularly to rural areas, and we've started that from the beginning of this current financial year. Last year, the focus was around partnering with Cloudy South African, talking about standards and the importance of standards in local municipalities, that when they go out to tender, it's done in accordance with a particular standard. Our customer satisfaction rate, we weren't able to achieve that. We do have detailed plans in place to monitor and track those. We've made a slight adjustment in this current financial year to move to a net promoter score, which we feel is a bit more holistic, and it gives customers an opportunity to really comment on our services. And so we'll, at the end of this year, we will then also be able to do a comparison around that. But this is something that we also track monthly, and we also track it according to the various areas. We've introduced 5 new online courses, 2 certification schemes, and then 6 new test methods as part of a revitalization of our product and services portfolio. Tina is going to talk, I think, to both the cost-to-income ratio and then the net profit of the SABS group. I've indicated that we decided very deliberately not to proceed with the employee engagement rate, and I think, unfortunately, the way the AG audit is, it's either achieved fully or not achieved. And so given that we had decided not to do it, it's a non-achievement. And then because we've gone through the 189 process and we're busy placing people, in fact, we've signed the amended terms of reference with Labour last Friday to look at how we place the colleagues, particularly in the bargaining unit. We haven't been able to recruit any new skills internally. And so, that explains those targets. So we'll only start the recruitment drive once everybody has been placed into the new structure. Tina, can I hand over to you just to talk through the financial slides, please?
Thank you, Dodie. Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. In terms of the financial statements and where we closed the year at the end of March 2022, I think the SABS group closed on a net profit of 50.8 million rand. And this is off the back of 5 years of losses. So I think it was quite an achievement for the entity. And the profit is as a result of us now seeing some of the fruits of the turnaround strategy that we've been implementing over the last 3 financial years. You know, the focus on the turnaround strategy was on revenue generation, cost containment, and improving operational efficiencies. And some of that work is now reflecting in the numbers. Revenue has grown by 7.8%. And I think this is quite substantial given the fact that COVID hit us as an entity quite significantly, the way it did other entities as well. We lost a lot of our customers. You know, the services SABS offers is voluntary. So in tough times, clients often cut voluntary services. So we lost a lot of customers during the pandemic. And I think the general decline in the South African economy, resulted in very tough years for us. But I think we've put in a lot of effort internally to try and grow our customer base, you know, look for new revenue generation opportunities. And revenue has increased, which, and we're hoping this upward trajectory continues in future. I think all efforts are being focused on ensuring that that does continue in future. On the cost containment front, I think we've implemented a large number of cost containment initiatives throughout the entity, and this has resulted in cost savings. Further to that, the completion of the Section 189 process, where we offered voluntary severance and early retirement packages to staff, was concluded, and that resulted in savings of about 110 million rand on our employee benefit line. So I think the growth in revenue coupled with the cost containment initiatives has resulted in the profit for the year. I think we acknowledge that we still have a lot of work to do, you know, in terms of the long-term financial turnaround of the SAABS. But in the medium term, I think we are on track to maintain financial sustainability going forward, increase our reserves and, you know, build our cash and be able to reinvest in our business. If we look at just key highlights from the balance sheet, you'll see that assets did decline on our balance sheet, and a big part of that was because our cash declined, and this was because of the once-off payment that we made on the voluntary severance and early retirement packages. But we don't see that continuing in future, so we have a chance to rebuild our cash reserves. I think our cash that's sitting on the balance sheet of 406 million rand is cash that consists of infrastructure funds, so funds, cash that's ring-fenced for infrastructure, as well as operational cash. So effort is being put into utilizing the cash that was given to us by the DTIC to invest in our infrastructure so that we can improve operations where there are gaps at the moment. If we move on to the next slide, which is the cash flow statement, I think I already spoke to the cash, but this is just a highlight of the cash and where we're sitting. As I said, the 406 million sitting in our bank account. I think the only other thing to highlight on the slide is probably the key ratios. So all of our ratios have improved because of the financial turnaround. I think Joey spoke to a 98% cost-to-income ratio. So it's the first time in a very long time that we've managed to maintain our costs below our income numbers in the organization. So we're putting effort, as I said, in continuing with that trend going forward. The other thing I just wanted to highlight was in terms of the infrastructure fund. So we did spend over 50 million rand in terms of capital expenditure for the financial year. We did experience some challenges because of the issues we had with the public sector, the triple PFA legislation, you know, and there was a period of time where we were not allowed to publish tenders, and that just caused us some delay. So I think we should see a greater spend in the current financial year as we catch up with the backlog. I think a lot of that has already come through the books in the first 6 months of the financial year. I think there's various strategies from a digitization perspective, from a facilities perspective and laboratories in terms of which are the key areas we need to invest in infrastructure. Obviously, we also have a lot of issues with the piping at the SABS and just general maintenance of the infrastructure. So that has been given priority as we speak. You know, funding is challenging. Our infrastructure requirements at this point in time is in excess of 1.4 billion rand, and we have probably, including our own allocation, just over 200 million rand. So we're trying to invest the funds in projects where we could get the biggest bang for our buck, you know, and to ensure compliance in the organization so there is no, you know, loss of life or potential injuries. So that is the focus area in terms of how we're going to spend our infrastructure cash going forward. Thanks, Jody. If we can then move on to the audit results. So for the year that passed, the SABS achieved an unqualified audit with findings. So this is the same audit opinion that we've achieved in the last three financial years. We come from a disclaimer audit in 2017-18, which is the worst audit opinion that you could possibly get as an entity, and we've done a significant amount of work to bring us to where we are with the unqualified audit as we speak. The ideal for us and the target is to get to an unqualified audit with no findings, but I think at the moment it's proving a little bit challenging because of the resource constraints that we have. Due to the Section 189 process, there's a number of resources that have left the organization. You know, we appoint contractors, they find jobs and they leave within 6 months. So there's no continuity and consistency of resources who have the adequate technical financial reporting skills at this point in time. So once we are busy internally populating the new structure, and once we populate the finance team with the right level of technical skills, I think we should be able to address all of these issues and head towards an unqualified audit with no findings. I think all effort has been made to address the auditor general findings. The next slides just go into detail about the audit outcomes and some of the issues identified by the AGSA. I think at the end of the day, the conclusion was that our financial statements, both separate and consolidated, fairly present in all material aspects the financial position of the SABS, and that we were compliant with IFRS and the PFMA. But having said that, I mean, there were errors identified by the AGSA that we did fix. So on the financial statements, I think AGSA raised a statement saying that we did not prepare them according to the prescribed reporting framework, and that's because they picked up errors in the financial statements. Now, the errors that have been picked up are a result of human error. You know, there's we provide them with schedules substantiating numbers. In certain schedules, there were errors in the calculation. In other instances, which points to point 28 in their report, where there was a material misstatement of non-current assets and disclosure items, there were certain items that were incorrectly classified. So instead of being classified as investment property, they were mistakenly classified as property, plant, and equipment. And the AG, I mean, the way the public sector and the AG works is the set of financial statements that you submit at the end of May must be 100% correct. And with our resources challenges, we just haven't been able to get them 100% correct. Unfortunately, we did have errors that occurred, which we then subsequently corrected, which resulted in us getting the unqualified opinion. The next slide, I think, just contains just two more issues. We did submit our financial statements late. We missed the legislative deadline of 31 May in the past financial year. We submitted on the 8th of June, and that's because we just did not have resources to fill the or to complete the financial statements. And, you know, we tried to prepare for it, and we tried to preempt, and we tried to manage it, but unfortunately, you know, colleagues just resigned, and there was, you know, there was nothing we could do at that point in time. But we have implemented steps to ensure that this does not occur in future. And then I think the AG also raised a finding in terms of our collection of revenue. So when they audited revenue collections and they audited long outstanding debtors, they found that some of the letters of demand that we issued were not signed, and they were submitted late. So they raised a compliance finding for us to improve our processes going forward to ensure that we get our letters of demand out on time and that all the letters are signed, so we don't have compliance issues against our policy. So that's something we've already implemented within the credit management team. And the last issue that they raised on the next slide related to the APP, and there were two strategic objectives which the AG felt weren't well-defined, and the source of information to measure those objectives weren't stated. So they were not able to say that we met the objective or not. But we have subsequently corrected this in the new version of the corporate plan, and we have written to amend our current corporate plan so that we don't get a repeat finding in the new financial year. And I think those were the key issues that were identified by the AGSA. We're working on all of these findings. We have a comprehensive audit tracking plan that we meet regularly on to try and address, and we report to our audit committee on a quarterly basis to ensure that all of these findings are addressed, and whatever support we need to close these findings we receive. So all effort is focused on trying to improve this audit opinion and create stability within the team. I think the AG also raised in their presentation that they were concerned, you know, the resources or the lack of resources, but with the new operating model being implemented and the structure being filled, we're hoping that this problem won't recur in the future. I think that sums up the 2021-22 financial year. Thanks, Jody, and back over to you.
Thanks, Tina. Chair and honourable members, I think just talking about the predetermined objectives, this is the status as at the end of quarter one. We've met 50% of our standardisation commitments. So these are national standards mapped to the DGIC priority sectors. We track this on a monthly basis. Some of the projects because it's technical committees, some of the standards, given the nature of the standard and the amount of scientific and technical information that's required, do take a bit longer, but these are actually checked. And we are expecting to meet this target come the end of the financial year end. In terms of the Net Promoter Score, this is a new way of measuring customer satisfaction. We've had some challenges in terms of implementation, so we've given ourselves not achieved at the end of quarter one, and we are on track to make sure that we report on this as part of the annual target. And then our new products and services as part of revenue generation, these are annual targets and we'll report then at the end of this current financial year. Currently, our profit is standing at 19.3 million. As at the end of quarter two, which was the end of September, it was just under 37 million. So I think the indications are that we would be making a profit in this current financial year as well. And that's also then subsequently had a very positive impact on the cost to income ratio. The employee engagement survey, which we didn't do last year, we will do in this financial year. And that's an annual target. And then we are mindful that we need to look at the number of youth supported as well as people with disabilities and ensuring that we hit those targets as we've outlined. Some of the targets, and I thought I would just give the committee a sense of this, some of the targets that we track internally talk about the number of test reports that we issue, the number of audits that we do. And I think this is just to give the committee assurance. So we plan audits. And we then actually go out and conduct audits. And so this is the 6-month view of the number of audits that we've planned, and then the actual audits that we've conducted. Sometimes audits do get cancelled, and that explains the difference in the numbers. The top management at the companies that we're wanting to audit are not available. Customer wants to postpone it. There could be some, the client may not be producing that specific item at that particular time. Sometimes our auditors are not available. They are sick. And so there are a range of reasons why audits get rescheduled. But to ensure that customers get their permits within the defined time frames required, these are checked and they audits are then rescheduled as well. Just in terms of the follow-ups from the last visit, I think we've been able to chat about the financial situation. Our facilities, including the plant room, the cooling towers, our labs, the pump testing, cement and radiation protection services, we've made investments in these areas. I think there are still a range of investments that we would like to make. I think we are constrained in terms of finances. And then also, we still have the legacy of aging infrastructure and equipment. We have written to the DGIC and they forwarded the request to National Treasury to assist us with emergency piping and roofing repairs. And we are anticipating getting as part of the adjustment estimates process. Our standards turnaround times, these are something that we're monitoring. The time last year in terms of 305 days to complete a national standard is the average time frame. Some happen shorter, some take a slightly longer period, but this is something that we absolutely monitor and track. And then in terms of the harmonization of standards in Africa, so the South African Bureau has signed onto the RSO's mutual recognition agreement framework, which consists of 6 countries, including South Africa. And the intention is that we start looking at a process where standards are harmonized and we start recognizing each other's marks. So there's a range of meetings that are currently underway. South Africa is participating. We've had a national consultation earlier this year in June, and we're part of that process. And the idea behind that is to give our exporters a greater playing field in terms of exporting. So, for instance, if there are incidences where countries have agreed to recognize each other's marks, it cuts down the compliance costs. And so that's something that we're actively driving. In terms of certification, we've been able to maintain our accreditation with both RVA and SONUS. And then in terms of growing the competence and the capacity of staff. For instance, in this financial year, in the autos and the electrotech competencies, we've increased the scope in those two labs with four with additional scope increases, and that talks to roughly around a 2% increase. And this is something that we're actively tracking and monitoring as well. I've spoken about a local content verification. And then I think there were some questions at the PC's visit about the labor relations. We have robust labor relations, and I don't think we could have gotten to this point without the support of organized labor. It's been robust discussions. There are institutional fora where we meet regularly. And then we also continue bringing all of the colleagues within the Bureau up to date in terms of where we are with our performance. Chair, and then before I conclude, I'd just like to ask the SABS colleagues if they could just put on their cameras and just briefly introduce themselves. This is the team that is with me. I'm going to start maybe with Dr. Damana. Maybe Chair, you can't hear. And then any of the other colleagues in the room from SABS? There's Chenge. You guys, colleagues, do you just want to introduce yourselves and the areas that you're from so that when questions are directed, we are all, and I think Lungelo I also saw was in the room.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, honorable members. My name is Lizo Makele. I'm the executive responsible for corporate services. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. My name is Tawo Sepuru. I'm the divisional head for laboratory services at the SABS. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. It's Lungelo Ndobongwana, responsible for customer partnering. Thanks.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. My name is Katima Temba, Aero-Certification Services, SABS. Thank you.
Morning, Chair and honorable members. My name is Joseph Leo Trela, the head of compliance, risk and legal services. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair and committee members. I'm Neil Slotin. I'm responsible for corporate strategy, media and stakeholder relations. Thank you.
Chair and honorable members, thank you very much for the opportunity to present. That's the SABS co-administrators and the team. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ms. Scholes, for your report. Members, it is now 47 minutes past 10, 48 minutes now. We will resume. We will take a comfort break and resume at 11, and I'll take your questions.
I wanted to ask, Chair, why do we seem to have a Helen Zille cabinet?
A men's choir.
Okay.
No, we'll take
that. Without as much diversity there as all boys school.
Okay. No, that's fine. We will
Thank you.
We'll reconvene at 11. Enjoy your.